welcome to season 4 of the Hennessy Box Podcast. Here are your hosts.
Hi, I'm Brad Churchwell.
And I'm Farhan Ghalani.
And I'm Jimmy Deep. We are the broker owners of RE/MAX iRealty Innovations.
They had a shelf in there, prominently displaying various, several.
Like a duplex?
Yeah, on one side was tenant occupied.
Okay.
And
you're selling both of them?
We were selling both of them.
Oh, both units. Yeah, okay.
Multifamily.
Gotcha.
And they had a shelf above the bedroom that was
displayed.
Quite a few.
Well, proud.
A lot of, yeah. Proudly displayed. Like a real assortment.
And they knew you were coming.
They almost they purposely put them there. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of season 4, the Hennessy Box Podcast. And continuing on kind of what we've been working on. The theme of the season is I want to say technical. Okay. I want to say applicable technique, applicable technical skills, but led by industry experts.
Yeah, our service partners, our vendors.
Partners. And today we have Yuki with us from Calgary Photos. Brad, Yuki. I mean, you've known Yuki for a little while.
Yeah, so. Yuki, we've probably been, I always say 10 years, but now it's probably more like 15 years.
10 years. I've been at Calgary Photos for 10 years. So,
Okay. Yeah. 10 years. I thought it was longer. But
feels longer.
Yeah. I started working with Calgary Photos pretty early on with Rob, Yuki's boss.
That's right.
But sort of, yeah.
Why do you say it like that?
No, I don't know. Rob's a really good guy. And he's not really a boss. He wouldn't be lording over anybody, I don't think.
That could have gone either way.
Yeah, that sounded bad. Yeah. But early on, I started working with a couple different photographers, mm-hmm. and Yuki was one of them. And I always liked working with Yuki. He always did a great job. I remember one time we were shooting a place in Crystal Shores and in Okotoks, a little subdivision of Okotoks. And we were on the back, and he was trying to get a shot of the back of the house, and the deck was right up against the fence. And he was straddled on the fence and on the deck rail to get the perfect angle. And
that's commitment.
Yeah, damn, this guy's good. So, yeah, I mean... And then I worked with a few other photographers, and I just started just requesting, you know what, Yuki. And then I found even better. I'm just going to call Yuki directly whenever I book, and that way I know I got the man. So anyway, thanks for coming out, Yuki.
Yuki had no problem, Brad at the straddle.
Yeah. We'll edit that out.
No, that's staying in.
So yeah, Yuki's been doing this for 10 years, or with Calgary Photos for 10 years. And, you know, when we first got in the business, Jimmy, you probably remember this, guys hiring professional photographers for listings was definitely not the
norm. It's not the norm.
Yeah. Oh, no. It was a small minority. I think I was one of the early adopters of it because I saw the value in it, and I went out and bought a Canon 30D, and I had that Sigma wide angle lens. Actually, I don't know if you still have that lens.
10-20.
Yeah. Oh, I can do this. No,
you can't.
I have the equipment, but
no, the equipment does not make the photographer. I'm sure Yuki can attest to that.
And that's kind of my point, is that I fast forward to 2023, and I think the majority of realtors are using professional photographers, and using anybody that has some expertise or some training in it is a vast improvement to when we first got in the industry. But I will say that not all photographers are created equal. And
I agree. Yes.
You know, there was myself as a wannabe trying to do it for my own listings. I was terrible. And then, you know, hired some of the more production companies that maybe come in at a favorable price point, and you kind of get what you pay for. Mm. And then I met Rob at Calgary Photos, and they just seemed to be kind of a cut above anything I had, you know, been with. And when I started with working with Yuki, him and Rob shared a designation, or they each had this designation. I think it's called the Certified Master Photographer. Is that right, Yuki?
Yeah, it's through the Professional Photographers of Canada. And That's a thing. Yeah. They make you send in 10 photos, 5 exteriors, 5 interiors, if you want this designation.
Yeah.
And
they're highly critical of them.
Ridiculously critical. But
so what are they criticizing? Like composition,
color, everything. Just
they got to be perfect.
Yeah.
To their standard or criteria. Yeah. So it's not an easy thing to, I guess, pass, right?
Yeah. I mean, you get as many tries as you want. You just got to pay the fee. So, I mean, I think anybody can get it.
You don't need to tell people that, man.
Yeah, maybe more
people. Well, I mean, not a lot of photographers have it, though.
I don't think so. I don't think.
Because I think it's a pretty high bar to.
I can tell you a lot of photographers out there can try as much as they can. They probably will never get it. We've seen some horrible stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and well, that's one of the things I like. When I don't know how you guys shop on MLS, but the way I do it, I choose an area I want to look at, and then I open like 40 tabs or whatever of the houses that fit my criteria. And I think the way I look at houses, I look at the first maybe 5 to 10 photos, and if I'm not there,
caught, if it doesn't catch you,
it's gone, right?
Yeah.
I forget about it. It doesn't matter. Like, I mean, the price matters, but the photos kind of set the tone first, I think. Yeah,
the price matters, but once you're in a price range, then the next thing you're looking at is what catches my eye.
Yeah,
it's and the initial hook.
Yeah, that's right. And I say that to anybody that I'm talking to about listing a home, whether they're already my client or I'm trying to gain their business in a listing appointment, is that all of your marketing efforts start with high quality professional photos. And I actually use Yuki and his material in a listing appointment to gain me business because I say, this is a guy I use. I mean, look at, and I obviously have very nice brochures as samples where I'm featuring his photos. But I mean, I can roll into a high end listing appointment with my own photos in that same, you know, glossy sample of a brochure and have the same impact that I can with professional photos that Yuki takes.
I think it all becomes part of your branding too, right?
It does. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good indication or a measure of your attention to detail and you know, the quality that you put out there in every aspect. Again, all of your marketing materials, whether they're online or print, you know, in the home, anything you're sending out, you know, through ad mail, anything at all that you do online, it all starts with the photos.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's a first impression.
Yeah.
Right. And I think one of the biggest things that we see now, and a lot of what I hear from feedback from people, is that it's gotten so ridiculous that a lot of the photos are so processed that it's really hard to tell whether that house is in good shape or bad shape, right? Especially with flooring and cabinetry and all that stuff, right? I've seen photos recently that looked like it was staged, like virtually staged, but it wasn't.
Oh.
Like it was processed that much where I'm like, the stools are like kind of grainy and all this stuff. So it's we've gotten into this really interesting spot where I think the general public is catching on to how to view these photos. And it's a really fine line between taking not so great photos and then like over processing them where it's no longer reality. And people come out and they're not, it's not what they expected, right? So you got to.
Colors are all messed up.
Yeah. So you got to match expectation with reality to the best of your ability in that they know that it's professionally taken. They know it's been processed, but when they show up, they're not disappointed because you didn't refinish that floor. Yeah. And I think, I mean, I've seen some of your work and it I think it strikes that balance. So I'm curious to ask, like, what's the most important thing for you when you set up that composition to try to capture the reality of it all, but also still making it look good on a technical sense, you know, like, you know, let's talk about exposure and aperture and those types of things.
Yeah. Our team uses like HDR, like most people do.
Yeah.
But we also do color correcting afterwards.
Okay.
To kind of match, you know, make it realistic. What I find the worst.
Let's back up a little bit. Can you explain like what the HDR
part is? So I'm sure you've seen it on your phone or whatever. Yeah. Like they got HDR now, but mm-hmm. HDR stands for high dynamic range.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's essentially doing is taking a dark portion and kind of balancing that out, taking the brightest portion of the photo, balancing that out, and then blending them all together.
Into one photo.
One photo. That way you get a nice range from darks to brights and they're all evenly lit. Like I'm sure you've seen some photos if you take a picture of a family member with a sunset in the background.
Right.
Either the sunset's perfectly exposed and the face of your family member's pitch black, or the other way around where the family member looks great, but the background's all blown out.
Right.
So HDR essentially gets rid of that.
Oh, nice. So that's how you get the nice window shots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know that and you're not using HDR, you have no idea how to get that window shot.
Yeah.
Right? The ones that you can see the inside nice and then you can see the trees outside.
Yeah. Well, so you're layering it and taking the best version of each area of the photo.
Essentially. Okay, like, cool. But we also take into account like what's on the outside. If there's a neighbor with a junkyard in their backyard, you want to blow that window out. You don't want
to,
feature that. So, I mean, that part's pretty easy to do. Just paying attention, I think.
Mm, okay. And before I cut you off, you had another thought. You were going on another thought, but I don't know if it's... I don't know if you remember what that was.
I remember. A lot of the photos I see of these smaller condos and even some big places, people use a super wide-angle lens.
Mm. Yes.
And it could be like a 500-square-foot, one-bedroom condo.
Yeah.
And it looks like a 1,200-square-foot place because they just...
Yeah, and you can see the walls kind of...
Curving. And so our team definitely tries to keep it realistic. Like, we don't want to, you know...
So what zoom are you... Like, what max zoom are you guys...
I mean...
What max zoom would you recommend to look... I guess it might be depending on the room, but like, there's got to be a...
Like a number, spot,
like a sweet spot.
Yeah. I don't know what I don't know what... Probably around 20-ish would probably be cleanest, because the wider you get, the more distortion you get.
Yeah.
So if possible, take like as many steps as you can back and zoom in is kind of what we train for.
Yeah.
There's some telltale signs of that when you're looking, like you said, at condos and they look massive, and then you see what they have, like a 130-inch TV in there. You know, if you get that picture that's right beside the TV on the sidewall, and it looks massive,
you're TV's like the entire wall.
Yeah,
some realtors want that though, and I shake my head. I'm like,
yeah,
do they tell you?
Yeah, I have been told. Yes.
Yeah. Make this as big as possible.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean by the time you get out there and your clients are so disappointed. You know, then how are you going to sell that place?
I think you want to avoid things that make it look small, like smaller than it needs to, but you want to show it in its best light possible and as the best angle to make that room look as big as naturally possible.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was told once, maybe you can tell me this from a professional standpoint. I was told once to say, when you're taking photos of like rooms, like smaller rooms, you should only catch like two walls. Yeah. At most, if you catch the third wall, it all of a sudden
boxes
that whole thing in.
Yeah, that also depends on if there's furniture or not. Like vacant homes, I think you need three, like, because it's hard to tell where you are
okay.
within
yeah.
the space.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I, when I send out my photos, I kind of order them in a way where you, it tells a story. You walk right. in through the front door, you go to the kitchen, go to the living room, and through that
yes.
is the bedroom mm-hmm. kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So if there's no furniture, it's really hard to tell that story with just two walls.
Right, right. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's one of my pet peeves is when you're looking through listings and
you have no idea where you are.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I got a picture of the kitchen. Now we're in the backyard. Now we're in the basement. We're back in the kitchen, master bedroom, you know, like.
Well, that's because somehow the order got probably messed up.
And then, they didn't bother to sort it out.
The agent didn't bother yeah. to move it around. I mean, we've seen that so many times, you know?
Yeah. No, that's true. Whenever I do get the photo package from Yuki, it's always kind of...
in order?
Yeah, it's always like front exterior, front entrance into the like main living area, yeah. kitchen, like the flow of the house. And like that makes sense. And you even get when you're done on the main floor, you get that shot of the stairwell.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're upstairs. It's like... it literally is like walking yeah. you through the house yeah, as totally. It should.
One of the things that I usually take a look at when I'm looking at properties, photos, where it's been, you know, that it's been kind of redone and touched up, and in general, it looks nice. But what I usually zoom in on, and maybe you got some tips for all of us, that what we can look out for, is that one is the angle. If it's like too wide, if you tell like the countertop, if it's caught on a corner. So you look at the corner, if it's like too stretched, you're like, oh man, that's probably not as big.
Yeah.
But I really like to look at the floors, like the flooring, because you can really tell the shape of that floor, even if it's been processed, if it's been worn out, like hardwood has been worn out or something like that, or there's chips on the baseboards. You can still tell that because I don't think a lot of photographers, when you do corrections, you do like macro corrections, right? You're not in there going
yeah.
photoshopping and painting unless
you're not renovating the house.
Yeah. So you can little telltale signs you can pick out. So is there anything else that you might be able to, you know, when you look at a photo, like what can you tell about that photo that says, you know, yeah, that's pretty much reality, or it's been a little bit worked on.
So there's a term called overcooking in photography when you do HDR and you okay. pretty much pull the HDR slide too much.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's hard to explain. It makes it look like an AI kind of 3D rendering almost.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
With some areas that are like, yeah, that looks like, yeah, I'm sure you've seen some AI photos. You're yeah. like, that's not real.
Yeah,
right? It's right. close,
yeah.
but yeah. it's not real.
Yeah.
You get that kind of feeling in some of these shots.
Yeah.
When they overcook, and there are some photographers in the city that I have seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen, that's what I was talking about, where it's like you start looking at furniture, and you're like, is that digitally placed there or is it real?
Yeah, right. yeah, and it's getting better. It used to be very rough,
yeah.
But that the virtual staging has gotten a lot better because they do shadows now.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can still tell.
Do you guys offer virtual staging?
We do, yeah, we do. Yeah.
Nice. I don't know, what about virtual staging?
You know what? I mean, I don't think it's a horrible option. I almost think it should be... there should be like a disclaimer in the private remarks.
Yeah, we've seen that, and I think it's
home was
definitely
virtually staged. Yeah. Photos were virtually staged. I mean, it's not like you're selling the furniture with the home, but it's nice as a showing agent to have that heads up. And, you know, when your clients, your buyer clients are looking at it, you could say, yeah, we're going to go look at it. And just so you know, that home is virtually staged, so we're going to be walking into a vacant home. Just kind of a, maybe even more of a courtesy. I don't know if it's...
See, I'm on the other... How many people... what percentage of people are realtors are virtually staging now, you think?
I'd say like...
take a guess.
I think 10% of homes maybe are vacant. And then out of that 10%, maybe 33% are virtually staging.
Yeah. Like, you know, the thing with virtually staged properties is that I feel that it's one of those get your expectation too high, show up, and it's like, oh, I got nowhere to sit scenario. You know what I mean?
It's different. You can see your breath. So that wasn't real. Oh,
yeah.
And it has nothing to do with the house.
No, it's got nothing to do with the house.
So that's what I'm saying.
You got to set buyer expectation. And yeah, I feel like when you virtually stage something, I think there's a place and time for that. But like if
Is what your house could look like furnished.
You know what's a better idea? Okay, hot tip.
Hot.
This one's coming. Pew, pew. So, so if you get your photos virtually staged, why don't you just print it out and then put it on an easel in the house?
I actually was at a house on the weekend that had that, and I was quite impressed. They had like the very artsy, they're all painted black, the easels.
Yeah.
In every major room, and it had a virtually staged photo blown up.
That's fantastic.
It looked great. I was like very impressed. And
How you should be using those things, I think, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess then at that point you can put it on MLS, but I don't know. I'm not a big fan of it.
I've never done it, but.
At that point, I mean, with all the effort, why don't you just stage the
thing? I'm a big believer in staging a vacant home, so.
Yeah.
If I can convey that value to my client, they're probably going to do that in a vacant home.
And I'm assuming you guys prefer to take pictures of homes that are staged, sure, right? Because vacant homes poses different issues.
Different, yeah. I mean, even staged homes do have their own issues, though. Like I've had where stager kind of stages a living room for functionality instead of like staging.
Right.
Right. So they put the couch in front of the TV, but that blocks off the entire living room from the rest of the house. So even though it's an open concept house, it makes it look really chopped up. So
they're not a good stager is what you're trying to say.
Well, I wouldn't go that
way. Well, I don't know. I mean, because anything I know about staging we'll probably be talking to a stager a little later on in this season. Mm-hmm. But you and I have worked together on homes where my stager has staged the home, and she certainly does not set it up for functionality. She sets it up for staging.
Staging should never be functional.
Yeah,
exactly. Right?
Like,
that's why I made that comment, because it's kind of like goes against the philosophy of staging.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But isn't that interesting?
But I know what you mean. I've seen it.
That's interesting though, right? Like you set something up for like total non-functional use at all. And that's what sells the house and people don't actually ever think about it. They're like, oh my God, this thing looks so nice. And they don't realize, man, there's no TV in here. And there's two chairs facing each other in the living room. Like it doesn't even look comfortable, you know? And they're like, yes, I love this place.
Yeah. But it works. True.
It works. And it looks great in photos. So,
Well, so here's a good example of functionality versus staging. In a living room that has a fireplace and a TV, and they're not in the same spot, the functional setup of that home is to have the furniture facing the TV. The staging preference in that room is to have the focal point be the fireplace and your furniture around the fireplace.
Right.
So that's...
And it shows up beautifully in photos.
It looks nice, but when you think about it, like, are you gonna sit in this room if this is a TV room?
Never. You're not sitting around the fireplace.
You're
gonna be like staring at each other all night looking at a fire. No, that's not happening.
Yeah,
you know, but but on aerial photography, let's talk a little bit about aerial photography. You know, kind of on the same length where what Brad was talking about earlier, you know, I did, like, when I first started, I'm like, I'm photography, I could do photography. Bought me a camera, a wide angle lens. I still have it, and it's like I hardly use it, but because over time it just takes a lot of time if you don't do it, and if you can't master that craft, it's terrible. And I always like to go back to like old listings to before professional photography happened. There are some awesome photos in there.
Oh yeah,
like there are some
the best
amazing stuff that you can see. But with aerial, kind of went the same way, right? Yeah, like I think a lot of agents said
every agent you got know a what? Drone like 6 years
ago. I could do this, and then they get a drone and they fly it up there. But the thing is, like, there's licensing now you need for flying a drone for aerial photography.
So how does it work?
So I think it was if it's under 250 grams, you're good.
How big is
like that? The drone?
Yeah. So that's small. Yeah, that's like the DJI size? Mini 3 and 4s are 249.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they specifically have the 249. Yeah. So yeah, you wouldn't have any issues with those, and I think that's what we use. I think that's more than enough.
Oh yeah.
Okay. But for insurance purposes, should probably get something. You don't want that coming down.
Well, there's a whole bunch of things to consider. You know, not just like flight patterns and stuff like that, but privacy, right? Like, you go up in a drone and your neighbor's upstairs getting changed, and you know what I mean? Like, it's just a can of worms. What's a high quality drone that's going to take acceptable HDR, high quality photos? Like, what's something like that cost?
Oh, it's not much. I think it's like $600. Okay. You know what you're doing?
Yeah, but I'd probably fly that thing right into a tree.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, I've tried tried flying a drone before, and it's like, I've tried flying a helicopter. It doesn't work. And it's very difficult. I tried flying a drone, never can get it right. Like, it's pretty damn difficult if you're not practicing it.
Yeah, and those small ones when it's windy and shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the new ones have sensors, so they have like obstacle avoidance.
Oh, yeah? Oh,
okay.
So the technology's getting up there.
Oh, where was I when I was flying that shit?
But if you're going to hire somebody and you want aerials and you hire a photographer, just tack it on.
Yeah, well, on aerials, I think, have you seen a lot of... you guys don't recommend aerials, right? Usually the agents will say like, hey, you know, this is what I want because of the location or whatever. Are you?
I mean, I wouldn't mind the money.
But there's specific times or like locations that you want to do it. Not all properties are going to get it, right?
It makes a lot of sense for if you're doing acreages.
Acreages make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Acreages, bigger, big lot properties.
Yeah. Big lot properties backing on to like nice green parks. Space, like park. Say something backing on a Fish Creek
Lake.
You want to show that, or proximity to downtown if you can get.
That's a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like things like that. Sure. Yeah. And that's a nice add on.
But here's the thing. You know, like when you go and do a renovation or something, you're like, I'm going to do this. And then you start doing it, and then you're like, ah, shit, I already did this, so I'm going to add on this thing. You know what I mean? And then next thing you know, you're knee deep in a huge reno that you just wanted to replace the carpet on, but now you got the bathroom all torn out too. I feel like aerial is that part of the next step, because if you can do photos, and this has happened to me, you do photos, and then you're like, okay, well, you know what? This place is like, it needs aerial. I think it'll sell it. Yeah. If there's aerial, you get aerial and you're like,
a video.
You got to add a video to this the aerial, we already got the aerial shots. I mean, you really want to use this now, and then boom, video.
Now I got a video.
Now you got a video.
Going maybe I'm a little biased here, but if that becomes part of your branding though, and gets you to other clients because you did video and aerial. I think that's, you know, worth it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think some properties warrant all three of those things.
Oh, for sure. You should be doing it on some of those properties.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things that I'm going to do a video on, and there's certain properties. I'm probably not going to do a video on a 600 square foot condo because it just doesn't video that well, especially if it's not open concept. You're just the whole time is video is just like in little hallways into
living
little
room.
Rooms.
Kitchen, living room, kitchen.
If I'm doing bigger properties, I'll do the aerial, I'll do the video, and I'll do not only the photos, but Yuki's done some really awesome on some of the higher end stuff that I've done over the years, done some night shoots. The starlight.
Twilight.
Twilight kind of affects your evening schedule a little bit.
They do stand out though.
Yeah, they do. So we'll do all the photos and then we'll literally like wait around for like the perfect time. And then
what is it about that? What is it about twilight photography that makes it look so enticing?
The way I look at it is like, especially when it's cold out like it is now.
Yeah.
So what happens when you do a shoot at twilight is when you're looking at the exterior photo, everything's blue except for the house.
Right.
Which is kind of a warmer, almost orangey tone, but not too orange.
Yeah.
So it's kind of inviting.
So all the lights are on in the house and stuff, right?
So you feel like, oh, that area looks warm.
Right.
And then on the opposite, on the interior stuff, you look out and all the windows are blue. So you're kind of...
I think that's what I think. It's sexy. The twilight shoots are sexy.
Yeah, they do look good.
We did one for an older condo in Mission. Remember that one? And it had like... It had a massive like kitchen living room or dining room living room window that was like a three frame window that was like a the view that they had was like a perfect, it caught the whole entire downtown landscape from fit perfectly in this window, and it was like a picture on your wall at night. So we did a night shoot of that, and he got it like a couple different, he got it like at sunset. So it was like orangey skies and the lights were just coming on downtown. And then he had a full on night one, and they're like some of the best. I used those photos for tons of marketing after. Rode the wave on those pictures.
So Twilight could have, like, do you do more Twilight in the winter then?
No, the listings go down in the winter, right? So...
sheer volume wise, then I guess.
Yeah.
But then in the summertime,
it's late.
Doing it like 11 p.m.
And it's
waiting around. Like you just kind of.
I think the latest I got home one night was 1 o'clock, and then I started editing at one. So, that was like in Okotoks or something.
Because it goes late. Like, you need that sun to set, but not completely set.
It's kind of like right there.
So you got a small window when it starts happening.
Yeah, 10-15 minute window.
Yeah.
Dang, you just bang them out?
Yeah, I mean,
10-15 minutes, like you're just running around, like, pow, pow, pow.
Yeah.
Dang. That's, you ever done it and then missed something?
Yeah.
you ever done it and then, like, you realize there's something in the shot that shouldn't be in the shot?
Yeah, because, Photoshop. Like, you gotta Photoshop that. Yeah. Oh, you don't have time.
You know the best scenario is, like, when agents take their own picture and they're like, taking a bad picture of their bath.
The mirror
picture.
Standing there.
Yeah. Oh, or the toilet seat up is like probably biggest pet peeve.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, you're not even trying.
Yeah. And you know what? There are times that I've left mats and stuff and because I couldn't show up to move it or whatever. And Yuki's always been moving it. So those little things are so important.
Yeah.
Like,
Yuki's pretty good at that. Like he'll go, because oftentimes like we'll go to a photo shoot and a seller, they'll start talking to me.
Yeah.
Because normally I like to go around and help Yuki like move. Because people, you tell them to get ready and they'll even have a staging consultation, be told exactly how to get it ready. And then they come and it's like, man, you didn't even, like all the kids' toys are
still there.
Yeah. And it's like, man, we're taking photos. So I usually like to help Yuki out, but there's lots of times the sellers get talking to me and then I come upstairs and he's like moved all the stuff into one room. So he's really thoughtful that way. And he's at the same time. I don't know how many times I've the clients have said, oh, geez, that was fast. Like almost like they're worried because
it was too quick, got
through the house so fast. I'm like, trust me, he's good. You're going to like what you see. Yeah, and they always do.
That's the same thing that people say to agents, you know, well, that you got paid a lot
for selling the
house for one day. Well,
yeah, you
pay for experience, not the
position,
time spent.
Yeah, position a house perfectly on the market. You do a lot of pre-marketing to get the buzz up. You reached out to agents that you know are in that area. You priced it exactly where it should be. You have all the great marketing. And as a result, you get a quick sale. And then people are like, huh.
Because of experience.
I should get my license.
Yeah, because of experience. Yeah, you should. You know, one of the things is like, well, then best response is that, you know, you're paying for experience and you're not paying for the time spent.
Like, yeah.
Would you be happy if I sold this for the same amount of time, same amount of money or less in 30 days? Well, no.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I've said in the past that, I'm not even going to charge you a bonus for getting it done so quick. That usually
goes over.
Yeah.
They probably like that. Hey, Yuki, any interesting stories in the last...
How raunchy can we go?
Oh.
It's pretty low key. You can say whatever you want here.
I mean, there's been our entire team, I think, a couple guys on our team, we've all had sex toy incidents.
Oh, yeah.
That's a recurring theme.
We had that at that home inspection that one time, remember? The one side of the... was tenant occupied Laura staged the one side in Richmond.
Yeah.
And then the other side was, they had a, like a shelf in there, like prominently displaying various,
like
several.
Like a duplex?
Yeah. On one side was tenant occupied.
Okay.
And,
like you're selling both of them.
We were selling both of them.
Oh, like both the units. Yeah, both units. Okay.
Multifamily.
Gotcha.
And, they had like a shelf above the bedroom that was like
displayed
quite a few.
Well, proud.
A lot of, yeah, proudly displayed. Like a real assortment.
And they knew you were coming.
They almost like they purposely put them there. Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a couple. One of our team members went into ensuite to do the measurements there. And he said, yeah, must have been cleaning day because they were lined up all over the
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, just standing tall.
Jeez.
You know, I wonder if people just don't care or if they actually forgot.
I think these guys forgot because the next time the photographer went up and they were all clean, they were gone.
Yeah.
So I think, they must have noticed or something.
Yeah. I think sometimes, it's like an embarrassing moment. And then other times like that. That one time, I think that was on purpose. Maybe a little protest to having to go through the whole process,
as
a tenant, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That doesn't affect us, though. That should affect them more.
Yeah. Well, we did
did
another
end up posting it.
I had Yuki come and do photos for another place and had no idea. I hadn't been in it. I was selling it for it was a revenue property for clients.
Yeah,
Hadn't been in it. They said it's probably not in the greatest condition inside of the long-term tenants, and I had no idea what to expect. So I'm like, well, I'm going to take photos, and if anything, I'll just use what I can what I thought. And that was that one with there was a giant. The guy was on the couch, and I wasn't sure he was going to get off the couch, and then he did. But we got pictures in the living room, and on the coffee table there was like a 4-foot bong, like a centerpiece.
That was impressive, yeah.
It was massive. I was like, I mean, I can't really.
Hey, buddy, can we move that?
I didn't end up using any of those photos.
At least those were tenants. Though. I've had that with,
like, yeah, with homeowners.
Yeah.
I thought you said I didn't end up using any of the stuff in the bong.
Yeah.
Yeah, tenants are usually, I don't know, like you probably run into more of those with tenants, but
homeowners,
certainly. I mean, I think they'll put a little bit more.
What are you doing?
That I don't get because I'm like, this is probably your, second biggest payment in life next to taxes? Like, that's.
Yeah. You should do your due diligence and get that stuff off.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm
trying to get the most money for it? No? Oh, okay.
What about any surprises walking into homes?
Yeah, I had one. I mean. I'm not going to disclose the location.
Sure.
But, I had the realtor like come out of a place to greet me and was like, be careful. It smells like meth. And I'm like, I don't know what meth smells like.
Oh, what? That's you're like, wow, should I be in there?
Yeah. Be careful. It smells like meth.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was very specific. Yeah.
So should I not breathe?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
Be careful or come back like another time.
Yeah, there's so many. It's this industry is so funny. I'm sure every service provider has been like through just random things. So we always like to ask.
Yeah. Well, I think you can gauge how well taken care of a place is by looking at my feet. If my socks are off or my shoes are off,
yeah,
probably all right. Yeah. But if I keep my shoes on, man, there's something else.
That's right. You're like tiptoeing through there.
Yeah.
That's true. Sometimes you go out and you show a house and you feel like you need to go home and have a shower because it's sticky floor or something. Yeah.
And those houses could show up beautifully in photos.
Yeah, you have no idea. It, right? Yeah.
That's very true.
One thing we didn't touch on was timelines and turnaround and booking. Like, ideally, what kind of notice do you like to have and to to take on an appointment and turn, because you know how it is. Sometimes it's on the agent for not being organized, not reaching out to you quick enough. But a lot of times it's like, hey, I want to list my house. Can you have it up yesterday type mm-hmm. thing? Like people, you know, you talk to them, they're thinking about it. Yeah, thinking about it. Yeah, maybe. And then all of a sudden it's like, boom. Yeah, it's time. And we need it up like
now. We want it tomorrow.
Yeah. So typically speaking, how, you know, it, for medium, moderately busy, you guys are usually fairly busy.
Yeah.
How, like just for some of our newer agents out there trying to kind of time this, getting a listing up and running, how much time do you ideally need to schedule an appointment, get out there, take the photos and turn around and get those photos back to them?
I'd say 2 days would be preferable, but like we've had that one where it was like, hey, can you get there in three hours? And I'm like, yeah, we can do that. But yeah, it's... I mean, earlier is always better because then you'll get the time you want and everything. But
at least a couple days.
If it's open, though, I'll book you right in.
Yeah.
Our new booking system that we're using starting next year is all going to be online. So you'll see all the photographers' availability.
I'm still just going to call you, Key. I'm not doing that, just so you know.
Yeah. Well, if I'm on vacation, I don't know. And then the cool thing with our new setup is that when we deliver, we also give you a free website. That's like a complimentary website with all the photos, your measurements, your video and all that.
Nice.
So yeah. And then, when you want to download the specific photos you want, you just download the sizes you need and,
And one of the convenient things, again, this is for, our newer agents out there that might be looking for somebody, you guys also do RMS measuring. We'll probably have maybe Corey in or somebody in on later on this season to talk about RMS.
They're changing.
They're changing this next year. Right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which will be one of the things we talk about. I never did get an answer on that broker meeting. We sat in a Rika broker meeting, and we were trying to pose a question. Why about RMS? This is a little off topic, but why don't they make it consistent? Do paint to paint like they do for condos and semi-detached? Why don't they do that for single family to create a consistent measurement standard across the board? And we never did get an answer for that, did we?
We did not.
I put my hand up for a while. Nobody came to me, my virtual hand in a Zoom meeting. Oh, yeah. And then I wrote it in the text and they never answered it.
So and BGMS is coming.
Yeah.
Below grade
measurement standard. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. That'll be nice. Like, there's some houses I've seen in Calgary where it's like everything's in the basement.
Yeah.
And like that doesn't get counted, but the bedrooms do. So it's like you end up with two bedrooms and that's it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's very weird.
Yeah. So there are some
I think that's a good addition.
Setups where they have,
the BGMS will be a
reverse
good
walkout in some of the Steve, like Patterson has a lot of those. Mm-hmm. There's some bunch of communities that have that reverse walkout style where you're, all that stuff is below grade.
Yeah.
So that's the nice thing is that I can call Yuki or use the online platform for booking. But it's nice. It's kind of a one-stop shop. So I can get photos and RMS done. You can upgrade to do the floor plans. You guys do video, aerials, you guys kind of cover it all in that respect. Yeah,
virtual staging. We do virtual renos too. So if you want to,
interesting.
Yeah. So if you got like a really beat down house that you want to show like a 3D model of what a kitchen could potentially look like, we take a photo of the beaten up kitchen and then virtually, 3D render and reno it. And make it look like so.
That's kind of cool.
Might be good for ideas.
Again, those things I think are great for
easels.
The easel, like the in
right.
Yeah, it's a little old school, but bringing new technology into and combining with some old school marketing.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
I love that. We're going back to old school stuff.
Love old school.
That's what's happening in 2024.
Yeah,
you're seeing it in the industry. You know, like a lot of like marketing.
We talked about this. Stuff. Yeah, before.
Yeah. So
make it a comeback.
I think so.
Try it intrude.
Wow. That was a great conversation. Thank you, Yuki.
Awesome. Thank you,
guys. Yeah, we appreciate you coming in and taking the time. And Yuki's off to Japan tomorrow.
That's fun.
Should be a good time. We'll see.
Yeah. I love Japan. It's like my favorite spot in the world.
Man, I gain like 15 pounds every time I go.
Yeah. Food's so good. You just can't, like, everything you eat there is good.
Yeah.
Everything. Good. Everything in the convenience store is delicious and inexpensive and high quality. Everybody's so nice.
You do got to be careful about the convenience stores, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They are saying that some people that live off the convenience store food have so many preservatives in them that they're not.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
They're not decomposing, like, because a lot of people are pretty lonely there.
Yeah, you have to live forever.
Yeah. No, I'm just joking. It's pretty gnarly.
Sorry. Not live forever, but just be in forever. One piece wherever.
That's crazy, actually.
It's actually kind of crazy. I didn't hear about
it
that.
It is wild.
All right, man.
Well, all right. Well, thank you, Yuki. Cool. Have fun on your trip.
Thank you.
And we'll chat with you guys next time.
Awesome.
Peace.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed that episode of the Hennessy Box Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on these great conversations.